This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Weil with you here. Appreciate you joining us on a Sunday afternoon. It is ugly outside, but you can feel the sunshine, I think, even so, in Florida. And the hypothetical, figurative sunshine of this Red Sox season. With Alex Bregman now part of this team, his presser was today, had a chance to talk about being here a part of the Red Sox. And there's so much to discuss off of that. We're going to continue to talk about it over the next 2 hours. But joining us now is one of my favorite analysts. You see him on Nesson. He also works for CBS Sports HQ, a former World Series champion at that. Will Middlebrooks now joins us on the program. Will, how you doing this Sunday?
JoJo, what's going on? Thanks for having me. I saw it is what it's not snowing anymore up there, right? It's just sleet and freezing rain.
It's sleet and freezing rain. It is disgusting, man. I know you're down in Florida. We're jealous.
It's 87.
I can't listen to
little,
this.
The locals are a little too warm. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make you guys hate me. Let's talk baseball.
I'm just so jealous. It's not hate. It's just pure jealousy right now, Will. I really wish we had that type of weather. It'll come eventually, but we got to wait a long time. But, Will, exciting times, obviously, in Red Sox Nation, and it's great to have a chance to chat with you about it. What's been your feeling these last couple days now that Alex Bregman is a part of this team and a member of the Boston Red Sox?
Well, kind of starting to step back and look at big picture of the offseason, and it was a really good offseason, right? I think this is a, the body of work. I say we as in the media and we as in fans of the Boston Red Sox have been waiting for the last 3 years or so. You know, you get certain things from ownership, and I don't want to say promises, but maybe direction that they seem to be wanting to go in an offseason, and then the last 2-3 years it just hasn't happened. And this year, it's like they checked everything off the list. And I wasn't so sure that Bregman was going to be a part of this. And I was looking at the offseason without him before they signed him, thinking, okay, it was a good offseason as far as building pitching depth and adding to the back end of the bullpen with Chapman, and then obviously the big Crochet move and Buehler. And I was like, it was a good offseason. It wasn't really exactly everything we needed. And then the Bregman news dropped. And that was just the cherry on top, because now you just get a winner. You get a leader in a clubhouse, which it's so hard to find a guy who can lead men in professional sports. And you have to be a guy who's been there, done that a lot. And that is him. And he has the pedigree, and he's got the personality and everything that comes with it to not only handle Boston, but handle a clubhouse of guys like the guys we have.
Will, can you speak to 2013 and how veterans impacted you and the younger guys on that team? Because you sort of resembled some guys like Christian Campbell or Roman Anthony or some of the young players that were rookies last year, where they showed some promise like you did in 2012, and then you were one of those young guys the next year that were a part of veterans that ultimately won a championship.
Yeah, Joe. So 2012, my rookie year, I come up May 2nd, so pretty much the beginning of the season. And that was a very veteran-oriented team as well. But it was also, you know, with Bobby V, and there's a lot of disconnection within that clubhouse, and it almost became clicky, you know, with the older group. And I was just kind of on an island by myself, just trying to survive and get my footing as a big leaguer. So I just kind of have my blinders on and went about my business. And there was a little bit of sitting down and, you know, being a rookie and enjoying the veterans. And but they had so much on their plate trying to hold the team together with everything that was going on around them with that 2012 team. So 2013, yes, it was my second year in the big leagues, but it was also really the first year that I experienced a closely knit team and older guys who wanted the best for me. And it brought the best out of Dustin Pedroia and Jacoby Ellsbury and David Ortiz and these guys who were with me there in 2012. But I didn't get to see the best side of those guys that year because of all the things they were dealing with. So bringing in the Johnny Gomes in 13, the Shane Victorinos, Napoli, like that. These guys have been winners their whole career. And not only that, they are just guys who get the most out of the guys next to them because you don't want to let them down because you know how much they care and you watch how much work they put in and you want to replicate that as a young player. So I know Trevor Story has not had a great time here. It's 160 games in 3 seasons. I get it. That's a huge letdown and hopefully this year is different. But Trevor Story is a guy who can be like Bregman as far as leadership skills go and bringing a clubhouse together. And he's done the best he can, but when you're not on the field, he understands he can't really have that loud of a voice. So there's a lot of guys in this clubhouse who can be that guy. And when they have several guys that can do that, that's when you start this winning culture where winning is all that matters.
We have Will Middlebrooks with us. Again, Red Sox spring training show, and we're talking about Alex Bregman. The presser was today. Will, it's interesting, and when we have this whole conversation now with Alex Bregman into the fold, there are some questions answered, especially from the right-handed hitting side, some of the defensive parts of it, but there's also more questions to be asked about where he will play. And one topic we've already been talking about today on the show, we talked about it with Rob Bradford, we had a caller call in about it as well, just this notion of guys knowing where they're going to play when spring training starts. How important is that as it relates to all this? Because there are still questions lingering about where Alex Bregman will play and then how that affects guys like Rafael Devers and then also Christian Campbell.
Right. Well, the biggest thing with knowing where you're going to play from day one of spring training is mainly important for guys if they're going to be changing positions, as Alex Bregman likely will be playing second base to start the season. It feels that way. But, you know, obviously it's not up to me. I sit up in the booth. I'm not in the dugout making these decisions. But if it was up to me, I feel like the best defensive alignment is probably Bregman at third. I mean, he won a gold glove there. We know he can be well above average at third base. That would mean you need a second baseman, right? And that would mean, is Christian Campbell your guy, who I love? Obviously, we got to see him ascend through the minor leagues 3 levels last year, hit 330, have about 1,000 OPS. Yes, it's the minor leagues, but he's still playing against, you know, high level. Every year, every level he went up, he continued to get better and better. So I'm really high on that kid playing second base, and I hopefully he gets a good shot at making this ball club because I think he makes his team better. Now, to take a couple steps back, if you do put Bregman at third base, obviously that's going to move Rafael Devers off his position. That's your $313 million player. That is one of the best left-handed bats in baseball. There's got to be a lot of trust there. There's got to be a lot of conversations had between Alex Cora and Rafael Devers, because the last thing you want is your $300 million player angry, because then you're not going to get the most out of that player that season offensively. If I had to build it, though, Bregman's playing third base, Christian Campbell's playing second base, Rafael Devers is my DH. Now you're starting to look at more of a domino effect of what about Masataka Yoshida? He doesn't play the outfield. He just had a labrum repaired. What's he going to look like? No one's going to take his contract at this point because he's not your prototypical DH. He's a contact hitter, which in some cases is good for this lineup because we have a lot of swing and miss in this lineup right now, yeah. And he's a high contact guy. So there's a lot of moving pieces that are going to have to figure out, that the team's going to have to get figured out over the next month. With all that said, and it doesn't matter what I think is best, I think we end up with Rafael Devers at third base and Bregman at second, at least to start the season. And then injuries will happen. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, without a doubt. And we're already worrying a little bit about Cutter Crawford, and hopefully he'll be okay before opening day. But that's also why you have as much pitching depth as the Red Sox do. Speaking of the pitching side, Will, I look at where there could be weaknesses on this team. And I do still look at that bullpen
And as good an offseason as this has been, I think a little bit how I wish there was one more dependable arm in there. Do you think the Red Sox need to add one more piece into that pen?
I'm not sure that they will at this point. I mean, is Robertson even still out there? It's like, is he the most dependable veteran player out there right now?
I
think he still is. But, like, if that's your guy at this point in his career, maybe. I mean, what are you going to get? If Liam Hendricks comes back and looks like Liam Hendricks, and all of a sudden it's okay. But there's still a lot of question marks around him coming off of surgery. I think if the big thing with Aroldis Chapman is, can he throw strikes? Because when he's in the strike zone, he still throws 101 from a drop left-handed slot, and that's filthy.
Yeah.
So you have that. I think we just have a lot of question marks. Garrett Whitlock, is he going to be a setup guy in the seventh? Which I think we all know from the beginning of his career, that's when he's been at his best, when he's been at the back end, you know, the seventh, eighth inning type guy. You have Justin Slayton. Still question marks around Greg Weissert. But then you have a lot of guys that are kind of 4A guys at this point. You know, you're looking at like the Zach Kellys, the Isaiah Campbells, Luis Guerrero, Brendan Bernardino, who's been in some big spots the last couple. So with all that said, Joe, there's a lot of depth, which is a great thing. But depth doesn't always win you games because you got to have dudes. And so I think some of these question marks are just going to happen. We have to wait and see, because there's guys like Zach Kelly, I think, have elite stuff. But can they find a rhythm and can they find consistency in the strike zone? Because these guys fall in trouble when they come in the seventh or eighth inning and walk guys. That's how we saw all those blown saves over the last 2 years, and that's something they've had to clean. They need to clean up.
Yeah, without a doubt, and especially in that second half, you just saw the bullpen sort of fall apart. Well, final question before I let you go. I'm thinking of Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell and even Marcelo Meyer when I – ask this question to you. You know, looking back at your career, you put together a great season in the minor leagues in 2011. I'm sure going into 2012, the big leagues were even more so on your mind. If you're one of these guys, how do you try to shut out the noise? Because there are expectations now among Red Sox fans about what these guys can do in the major leagues, but they haven't gotten there yet, obviously.
Yeah, and I think all these guys are saying all the right things. You know, you hear them in interviews, and they seem so mature for their age. I mean, Christian Campbell, obviously, he went to college there at Georgia Tech, so he's had a couple of years on Marcelo and Roman. But these guys are trained so well by the Red Sox organization, whether it's the rookie development program, whether it's the mental side of the game they have that they really take care of and take pride of within the organization. So these guys are prepared. At the end of the day, they are human, right? They have Twitter, they have Instagram, they read the comments. They as much as they tell you they don't, they see it because it's just that's the world we live in now. But they seem like the guys who just kind of they always put in the work, and that's how you build confidence in this game is you're prepared, right? And you work, and then when the game gets here, you just play the game. That's the easy part. And they just kind of seem like they all seem like gamers to me. Obviously, Marcelo's dealt with some injury stuff over the last few years, but he seems just very even keel, which is nice. And then Roman and Christian Campbell just seem like two of the biggest freaks as far as prospects go and athleticism. So I'm excited to see what they bring to the table this year, because you got to think at least two or three of them, or at least two of them, are going to impact the big league club at some point this season.
Yeah, they're going to be fun to watch this year. And Will, there's no anger directed at you because you're in some warm weather. I can't thank you enough for joining us here today. So enjoy the warm weather. I'm happy for you. I truly am. And can't wait to hear you very soon talking Red Sox baseball on the airwaves.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I think I speak for everyone when I say I'm pretty fired up for the season, ready to get going.
Yeah. We certainly are. Will, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. You guys have a good one.
All right, that is the one and only Will Middlebrooks joining us here on the Red Sox Spring Training Show on WEEI. He breaks down the game so well. He's only been doing it for like a couple years, too, maybe more than just a couple. But Will is awesome, and I'm so glad he got a chance to join us. One, to talk about, obviously, the Bregman news and all that, but he was one of these guys like Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony, that came up through the system and then ended up playing a role on a winning team. Those guys obviously haven't done that yet, but a lot of excitement obviously going into the season. And Will, with that last sentiment, hitting on it there. We can't wait for the season to start, and soon enough, spring training games will begin. We have a lot more to get to on the show. We will continue to talk Alex Bregman. Also want to get into the pitching staff and how it's shaking out this year, the starting rotation, also the bullpen. And then later in the program at 1:20, Ian Kundle of Sox Prospects will join us to talk about the guys that are coming up, the Roman Anthony, the Christian Campbell, Marcelo Myers of the world. Maybe we'll ask him, too, if there should be any other prospects we should be watching out for as well. As always, we want to hear from you, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. What are your expectations for this Red Sox season now that they have Alex Bregman? What do you want to see this team do with him at or in the infield? Third base, second base, where do you want to see him play? What do you want to do with Rafael Devers? We can talk everything with you. But let's now send it over to Jacob Lassner, who has what's trending here on WEI.
I'm as fired up as you probably feel right now drinking that energy drink that you have in your hand. Jacob, what are you drinking right now?
It is a Monster. You got to do what you got to do at this hour.
Yeah. And you've been hard at work today, too.
Since 8.
He's Jacob Lassner. I'm Joe Weil. Jacob does a great job, by the way, calling BC Hockey. You can hear him on the BC Radio Network. What are the letters? I always forget.
It is the BC Student Radio Student Network. Radio. WZBC is the call letter.
Yeah, Jacob does fantastic work. Obviously, on 850, you hear John Risch, Andy Powers. They do fantastic stuff. And Jacob, for the student radio station, does awesome work. He's been great today behind the glass. I'm Joe Weil. Appreciate you joining us for Red Sox spring training show. And Cooper Boardman, he is still stuck at the airport, or I think he may have just landed. He's either in the air or just landed. We're communicating, but he was is stuck in the Midwest. He was calling a game on FS1 yesterday. So it's been me doing the solo work. We've had Rob Bradford on. We've had Will Middlebrooks on. Both guys were fantastic. And we want you to be a part of our conversation talking Red Sox baseball. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. You can also text us at 37937. As well. And want to continue the Alex Bregman conversation after he had a chance to talk today and still some unanswered questions as it's related to him, where he's going to play in the infield, and what it means for Rafael Devers as well at third base. It's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. We do have a caller that's calling in about the Four Nations and all that. I had a chance to watch some of that game, but thankfully I have Jacob with me because he's the hockey expert among the two. I'm a watcher. I am an admirer. I enjoy hockey. I call it on occasion, doing some college hockey. But Jacob is our man. But let's hear from Mark from Medford. He wants to talk about Four Nations. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, I appreciate you taking the hockey call on the baseball show.
Oh, listen, we'll take it.
First off, I want to say that was freaking awesome last night. That was the best 9 seconds of hockey I've seen in about 20 years.
Mark,
that was great.
Mark, I just admitted I'm not a big hockey guy, and I'm honestly more of an NBA guy than an NHL guy. However, I was tuned into the game last night. And I was not watching the slam dunk contest. I was watching that.
The what?
There you go.
Anyway, okay. I mean, first of all, if you're an owner of an NHL team with the six participants that were in that fight, you got to be like, okay, WTF, chill out. That really doesn't mean anything, this tournament. But, you know, you guys, I know you got to do what you got to do, but please be careful. And number two, as far as the national anthems are concerned, when this tournament comes to Boston tomorrow, I think the fans at the TD Garden, and I'm putting this out there for everybody to hear, instead of booing the Canadian National Anthem, stand up and sing it. Sing both of them and show Canada what class and respect is all about.
All right, Mark. Appreciate the call. Jacob, thoughts on last night, by the way?
I really enjoyed watching the game last night. It felt like a gold medal game in the Olympics is how intense it was. I mean, I just couldn't believe that there were fights in the opening 10 seconds. It was remarkable. And the fact that they set that up it really says so much about, you know, hockey as a sport. It's like, what other, you know, sport is that allowed in where as soon as it starts, you just have three people like going at each other, like fists blazing everywhere. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was. You know, so the way it unfolded from my perspective, I was getting ready for today's show, talking 3 hours of Red Sox baseball, and I was on X, and I was just sort of looking at my feed, and I saw so many people talking about it. I had a busy day yesterday. I called some college basketball. My brother-in-law, it was his birthday, so we were out celebrating that as well. So I come back home and start doing some prep for today's show, and I see everybody talking about it. So I'm like, okay, I got to turn it on. And I was locked in. It was awesome. I fell asleep before the end, I will admit. Again, I get up early for my full-time job at CBS Boston. And so I didn't catch the entire thing, but I was locked in for a lot of it. And again, I would, on a regular night, have watched the slam dunk contest. But I'm not as into it as much anymore. And I think it's because they don't have stars doing it. You know, I know Mac McClung is really good at dunking, but he's obviously not a star. So I was locked into this instead, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was the best hockey game of the season by far, and I think that it put the whole world on notice. It's like, okay, here's the sport, and not only are they, you know, skating around at 20 miles an hour, they have those advanced stats every so often, but they're also actually fighting each other, which is incredible. In the All-Star break, too, I mean, what's better than that?
I think the buy-in from the players is such a big part of it, Jacob. Wouldn't you agree? Like, the fact that they were showing so much effort and intensity in this is why it was so great.
I agree. I mean, I can't believe how bought in all of these players are. They're legitimately taking this as seriously as they would a Stanley Cup final game, because a lot of these players haven't had the opportunity in the Stanley Cup playoffs. A guy like Brady Tkachuk, for example, a guy like Dylan Larkin, who hasn't made the playoffs in a while, scoring that game-winning goal. I mean, it's a chance for these guys to be heroes for their country, which is a remarkable thing that sports can do, and hockey is the best example. We think about, you know, 1980, the miracle on ice, and this is a pretty, honestly, comparable moment in history, and with the U.S. pulling out the win there, it really said a lot.
Yeah, and Jacob, correct me if I have this wrong, they're going to keep doing this too, right?
Yeah, they are. They announced the World Cup of Hockey as well. So it's going to be like Olympics, World Cup of Hockey, four nations, and then maybe the All-Star Game. But nobody really knows if there's even space for the All-Star Game anymore at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it might just... listen, if people like it, why not have it just take over at this point? Because it was awesome. And this is coming from a guy that does not watch a ton of hockey. I'm in tune with it, but I don't watch it all the time. It hooked me. So it was one of the big shows, obviously, of last night's programming, and it was great to hear from Mark from Medford talk about it. Listen, if you want to call in about it, we'd love to hear from you. But we're talking Red Sox, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Big news, obviously, today, Alex Bregman talking about joining the Red Sox, and now he's a part of this year's club, and we'll see if it's just for this year. There are opt-outs after this season and next season. There are also deferrals in this contract as well. And we talked to Rob Bradford about maybe what role his wife played in this, because she's going to be working at Harvard this year. But regardless, he's a guy that's going to help this 2025 Red Sox team. And what we've been talking about on the show is some of the positional changes that have to be made or could be made if this front office group, and of course, Alex Cora himself, ends up deciding that Alex Bregman should be the third baseman instead of Rafael Devers. And we did have a texter just chime in recently. He said, Joe, Devers at DH makes the team better. I'd trade Yoshida and eat a ton of money. Campbell, Grissom, or Rafaela at second makes our infield defense much better, all capital letters with much, and adds about 5 wins to previous years. I don't disagree with a lot of that. Honestly, actually, I don't think I disagree with any of it. The only part of all this that's challenging is we've talked about it on this station. It not just me, pretty much probably I think everybody that talks Red Sox baseball here at WEI has said, oh, this team should trade Masataka Yoshida. It's easier said than done, obviously, with his contract and the fact that he is a DH and he's a good hitter. I honestly think we talk about him too much as this, you know, schmo at the plate when he's been pretty good. Like, he's put together some good stretches at the plate, but obviously what hurts him is that he doesn't hit for a ton of power and he doesn't play the field, or at least he didn't last year, because Alex Cora saw him in 23 play in left field and he really struggled. And so this team has struggled to get him off the roster so that they can open up this DH spot to then eventually, whether it's this year or next year, put Rafael Devers in at DH, and maybe still allow him on occasion to play third base. And by the way, I just want to get this out there. The Seattle Mariners, what are you doing? And I only bring them up in relation to this Masataka Yoshida conversation because there were reports out there that the Red Sox were going to trade or were trying to trade Masataka Yoshida and Tristan Casas for Luis Castillo, who is a very good pitcher, but I would argue not a top 10 pitcher in the majors. I think you out there that like baseball would agree with that. And yet the Red Sox were trying to get both these guys off the roster to then get him in. And the Mariners desperately needed hitting, and they didn't take this deal. Don't understand that at all. I think the Mariners should be continued to be clowned for not taking that deal because they need hitting, I think, more than the Red Sox even needed pitching at that point. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. We're going to continue to play sound from the presser. We will, in a little bit here, play you what Scott Boras had to say about how the Red Sox changed their approach in figuring out this Bregman stuff and ultimately getting him into the fold. The dust has settled a little bit from when they signed him and the excitement of that. And not to say that the excitement is away. I, in fact, have been arguing the opposite point of that you should be excited because this team has real expectations going into this year in a way that they have at the last couple of years. But I do want to play that sound from Scott Boras coming up in a moment. Before we do that, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Silas in New Hampshire. What's going on, Silas?
Hey, Joe. A couple questions for you. One, I want to know, you know, how you thought the offseason went for the Red Sox, give them an offseason grade, and then, you know, what you expect for this upcoming season. You know, what do you think is going to happen to the AL East and, you know, expected outcomes?
Silas, I give it an A-, I think. That's where I've ended up because I think the one thing that they're missing, we just talked to Will Middlebrooks about it, is that their bullpen is a little suspect right now. Hopefully Garrett Whitlock can stay healthy because I think he'll play a big role if he does stay healthy. But their biggest move was signing Aroldis Chapman. And where is he at this stage in his career? He can still strike out a lot of guys. He did that last year in Pittsburgh. I think that if they had gotten a Tanner Scott, you know, which was obviously the biggest free agent out there on the relief market, this would be an A-plus offseason. So I think I have to settle with A-. If you say B-plus, we're splitting hairs. But that's where I'm at. But Silas, the AL East question, to me, is the most fascinating. I'll give you my answer in a second, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think A- for the offseason grade. Definitely could have used a relief pitcher. I think they'll probably explore that in the trade market. Kind of see how the first couple months go and go from there. Hopefully they're actually buyers this year and not like buyer sellers. And then for the AL East, I mean, I have them winning the AL East. I think they've done enough to show that, you know, they're kind of going all in, kind of pushing their chips in to show that, you know, they're in their championship window. So excited with the prospects coming up and kind of the buzz around the team.
I love it. I love Silas. He's going out on a limb saying American League East. Silas, appreciate the call, my man. Thanks for chiming in. All right. So where do I stand on it? I've been going back and forth, Jacob. I think I'm picking them to win the American League East. At least that's how I feel right now. And the reason why I feel that way, and I appreciate Silas's call, again, we want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. You might think I'm crazy. Fangraphs still has the Yankees ahead of the Red Sox in terms of playoff odds and also winning the division. I think where I stand with it, It's a lot about how the Red Sox look now with Alex Bregman, that they've traded for a guy that could be an ace in Garrett Crochet. And I'm hopeful Walker Buehler will have a better regular season than he did a year ago. But to me, it also just has to do with the rest of the division. The Yankees are trying to replace a generational star in Juan Soto, and they're essentially trying to do it with three separate pieces. Like, Max Fried is a good pitcher. I wanted the Red Sox to sign him. That was top of my list for off-season moves. Somehow get him into the fold. Guy that has the best ERA in the sport over the last 5 years. But from a value standpoint, what the Yankees have tried to do with Max Fried, Devin Williams, Cody Bellinger. They're trying to just make up the value of one guy. And can they do that? That requires all three of them to play up to their potential. And can they do that? I don't know. Who do they have playing at third base? The corpse of DJ LeMahieu. So I look at this Sox team. You have Bregman, who's still in his, I don't want to say like the best level of performance he's ever been in, but he's going to be a good player if he can stay healthy. You have these young prospects who even, you know, projections like Fangraphs and all that stuff, Pakota, whatever it is, they all think highly of Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell. Last year, they didn't have a healthy Tristan Casas. At least right now, they do. They have a guy that has the stuff of an ace in Garrett Crochet. Zaydon Rafael has got another year under his belt. You still have Willy Abreu, who we talked about in every trade proposal this offseason, and he is still a member of the Red Sox. And by the way, he was really good last year.
Walker Buehler said he wants to throw 200 innings this season. Do you believe that?
I don't think he's going to do it. I think they're going to be... It's just the way pitching is now, Jacob. It's like to expect guys to throw 200 innings is pretty tough when it's all high effort, high velo, all this stuff. And Buehler, I think, is going to be a different pitcher this year. I think he's going to throw his breaking stuff a lot more. We'll probably see a little less of the four-seam fastball, and that's just because of what he did at the end of last year. And then you add on top of that what this pitching infrastructure looks like with Craig Breslow, and then on top of that, Andrew Bailey as well. So I just look at the upshot of this team compared to the Yankees or even the Orioles, who just seem so stagnant right now. Rob Bradford hit on it earlier. Like, what are they doing? Why aren't they trying to go out and get Dylan Cease? Are we sure Jackson Holliday is going to be a good player? I'd still hold out hope, yes. But this team made active moves to be better. And yes, the Yankees made it to the World Series last year, so even though they collapsed in pretty epic fashion in Game 5, they're still the team with the bullseye on their back. We're going to hit one more call, and then we'll go to break. Let's go to Al in Providence. He wants to talk about the Red Sox. What's going on, Al?
Hey, how are you?
How you doing, Al?
Just, you know, good. How about you?
Doing great, except for the weather. Wish the weather was a little better.
Well, I'm heading down to Fort Myers in a week.
I love that.
So, yeah, I get to see about 10 games this year.
Al, I had a quick question before you ask your question. Did you get those tickets before the Bregman news and all this stuff? Were you already planning on going down?
I've been a season, spring training season ticket owner for about 20 years.
Love it.
Yeah. So that's my happy place, JetBlue Park.
And I think it's going to feel a little bit happier this year, too. What you got?
One thing I wanted to talk about is announcers. I just wanted to say I love Dave O'Brien. I don't think he gets enough respect, and I think he's a pro's pro. So I just wanted to mention that. I'm really looking forward to Lou Maloney doing more and Will Middlebrooks. I think they're great. I don't know. You know, I kind of the only thing I know we needed to make the trade. But the loss of Kyle Teal hurts. Catching is so important. Do you think they would have traded him? I know he's a lefty hitter, right?
Yes, he is a lefty hitter.
Would you think they actually would have traded? I know the two left-handed right now. Do you think they might have not traded him if he was a righty?
That's a great question, Al.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. The reason that they traded him, this is just part of what I'm taking into consideration in my guess, is I think they think the upside for the other three of the big four is just greater. I think they think more highly of Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell and Marcelo Meyer. And I think with Kyle Teal, they knew what they were going to get, and we'll see how it all shakes out. But I think that they thought it was and will be a solid major league catcher when he finally makes it to the major leagues. But especially Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, those guys seem to have star potential in a way that Kyle Teal likely doesn't, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. You know, I just want to also say that I'm still missing Pawtucket Red Sox. And, you know, I haven't been up to Worcester yet, but I know some of these guys obviously can't make the big team. I would love to be able to see them in AAA, those three guys that you mentioned. And I'm really looking forward to seeing them in a couple of weeks.
Al, did you see the documentary that was put out on YouTube? It was with the guys from Underdog, Jared Karabas, Steve Peralt. They had Lou Merlone go down there and tour the place. You should check it out. It's really good. Have you seen it?
I will do that. Absolutely.
And Worcester, the ballpark is phenomenal. I know for some people, especially like yourself, you're from Rhode Island, seeing you call in here. I know that there's a lot involved in the emotions there. It is a great ballpark, I will say.
Our politicians really screwed it up here.
Yeah.
They really did.
Yeah.
Never forgive them for that.
Well, Al, I appreciate the call. And most importantly, I hope you have a blast in Fort Myers. He just dropped there. But great to hear from Al. We want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. We're a little bit behind. When we come back, we'll get to text. We want to hear from you. Again, please call in as we continue to talk Red Sox baseball. Ian Kundle will join us at 1:20 from Sox Prospects to talk about some of the guys we discussed, Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer and Christian Campbell. Of course, we're going to continue to chat about Alex Bregman. All that and more coming up on WEI. Alex Bregman talking about Fenway Park and his experiences playing as a visiting player. And remember, the Astros, when he played with Houston, matched up against the Red Sox three times in the playoffs. His team won two of them. 2017, as he just referred to it. I do remember, and I think any Red Sox fan would, that inside the park home run from Rafael Devers in 2017. They ended up losing that game, unfortunately, and ended up losing the series, but that was a pretty crazy moment, and it was in Devers' first year in the major leagues, too. So it's neat that Alex Bregman remembers that, but also remembers what that environment can be like. Fenway Park, when there are playoff games. He's been on the losing side, too, 2018. And he talked about it in the presser as well. The line drive he hit to Andrew Benintendi, who made the diving catch at the end of Game 4 of the ALCS. And our very own Joe Castiglione fell out of his seat making the call. An epic moment, obviously, in that postseason run. And then the Astros ended up getting the better of the Red Sox in 2021.
Seven!
We should bring that clip up at some point, Jacob. We could let's try to find it and bring it up, because it is one of my favorite joke calls among obviously so many. But he hit on it in the presser just about, you know, he's played playoff baseball every year of his career. You take out 2016 when he made his debut. Astros didn't make it that year. But every full season of his career, the Astros have been there. And now the Sox have somebody in the fold that's been there, done that. And it not just has been a part of it, has been the leader on those teams. And I think for this organization to finally make the move to get one of those premier guys is noteworthy, albeit with some caveats, obviously, with the opt-outs and the deferrals. But at least for 2025, we know that this guy is going to be a part of it. And Lou Merlone on Nesson today talked with Sam Kennedy and asked a really interesting question and got an interesting answer out of Sam Kennedy. Jacob, let's bring that up.
It does feel like a shift, you know, and Scott even talking about John Henry's involvement, calling him multiple times, talking about something has been missing, and we think that this guy is what's kind of been missing. Like, his involvement in it as well, you heard Tom Warner making calls at 3:30 in the morning. Yeah. Is that East Coast time?
Yeah. Where
is
he was in the United Kingdom.
But they were involved.
Yeah, I was saying to someone earlier, like, I think the misperception, like, there wasn't a day. So we met in Newport November 15th. We were obviously engaged in another pretty high-profile free agent discussion for about a month. Didn't happen. Night before the winter meetings, Juan Soto makes his announcement. We actually run into Scott at dinner. It's like, all right, it's time to turn our attention now to Alex Bregman. But from that moment, call it mid-December through Wednesday night, there was not one day that John, Tom, Mike Gordon, myself, Theo, Brez, AC, weren't locked in on a phone call, a Zoom call, a WhatsApp chain, talking about Alex Bregman. 7 days a week, literally every single day. So the perception that, you know, that ownership is not interested or doesn't care, it drives those of us who see it every single day crazy, because we're like, it's just not true, but it doesn't really matter. You just have to go out and do it and win, and the rest will take care of itself.
All right, so that was Sam Kennedy talking, and a great question there from Lou Merlone just about the involvement of the big names as part of this organization. And, you know, again, you might shake your head at some of that, and I know some people just do that regardless of what comes out of Sam Kennedy's mouth just because of what's happened the last couple of years. We will now see if this is the start once again of this organization doing, for lack of a better phrase, going full throttle.
That's an interesting way to put it.
We'll see. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for the Red Sox spring training show. We still have one more hour to go. Ian Kundle, he will be joining us from Sox Prospects at 1:20 to talk about those guys. So if you want to get your texts in, you can hit us up at 617-779-7937 on the text line. You can also call us in or call in at that number. Calls are rolling in right now. Again, one more hour to go talking Alex Bregman, talking about the prospects, talking about what this team could look like, what your expectations are as well, because the fan interest, that's what Sam Kennedy's hoping comes back. And if we're all being honest about where this team has been the last couple of years, the fan interest has waned because of the moves that this organization has made. So is this where things change? We're going to wait to find out. But just seeing what I'm seeing on Twitter, X, seeing what I'm seeing on social media, seeing what we're seeing on the text line, the calls, all that, the conversation in town, it does feel a little different. We'll have one more hour of Red Sox talk coming up right after this in WEI.